Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the September 12, 2023 school board meeting. Let us stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberties and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming out. Can we have a moment of silence for the 9/11 victims? Thank you. I want to remind everyone that school is in session and we have our buses and they have cameras on them. Do not pass the bus. The cameras are on the bus. Okay, so let's move to our agenda. We have a roll call. All board members are here except Tamika Battle-Burkett. And let's go to our first agenda item on our agenda. And that is to approve the regular minutes. To approve the minutes for the September 12th meeting. The regular meeting for August 8th. Okay. To approve the regular minutes for the August 8th, 2023 meeting.
Move.
Second, Dr. Cantara. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved. And we're going to go to approve the minutes, the special meeting on August 21st, 2023. May I have a motion? Do them all together?
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to approve the minutes of August 10th and August 23rd, 2023. Move.
August
8th, 21st, and 30th.
So we did this one already? We just need to do 21 and 30.
Okay, the special meeting of August 21st and the special meeting of August 30th, 2023. Move. Mr. Jaime, second. Ms. Early Javis. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved. May we have our report from our Vice President, Ms. Capers?
Welcome back to school, everyone. Nice to see such a large crowd here tonight. I hope you all had a great first day. I'd like to thank our parents and our staff for getting us through that day. I know it was a hot one, but thank you all for taking care of our kids and making it a pleasant first day. Like Ms. Garley said, I want to remind you all to be mindful of your driving while our students are going to and from school, and be mindful of that bus stop arm. Yes, there is a ticket. I want to just remind you all of those two things and to be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Capers. There's no report from the schools. Your high school report for Elmont Memorial, Sewanaker, and Floral Park.
I left it inside, but yeah, this. Okay.
So the Sewanaka High School sends a report tonight. The Sewanaka High School welcomes 17 new faculty and staff to their ranks. On August 28th, Sewanaka welcomed 225 new 7th graders to the Sewanaka family during their orientation. Sewanaka High School artist Matthew Cruz, grade 11, won the prestigious Scholar Artist Award of Merit for 2024 for the Long Island Arts Alliance. Administration and school counselors' classroom visits will start to take place the week of September 11th. The Student Council will host the New Faces Meet and Greet for all new faculty and students on September 19th at 3 p.m. The Students Activity Fair will take place on September 20th at 3 p.m. The 7th grade Welcome Ice Cream Social will take place on Friday, September 22nd at 3 p.m. Senior Parent Night takes place on September 27th at 6:30 p.m. Renovations on the School Counseling Center are underway. And that's Sewanaka's report from Ms. Nicole Allen. Thanks. You want to do Elmer?
Yeah.
That's Elmer. Yep.
Good evening, all. How you doing today? Appreciate the community coming out to hear our reports. Elmont Memorial Highlights. September 2023, on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023, the community was invited to the high school to meet the new principals. Myra Baker, 7th grade orientation was held on Monday, August 28th, 2023. Student and parents were welcomed and introduced to staff. iPads and schedules were distributed to the students as well as a tour of the building. September 5th, 2023 was the first day of school for students. September 2nd, 2023 was the start of our sports season with two football games. And who was the game? H. Frank Carey and Elmont Memorial. When we did the building tours, that's all they were talking about, and you see them both in the field. A student activities fair was held on September 7th in the junior-senior cafeteria. And upcoming events, homecoming, Saturday, September 23rd, 2023. Parade begins at 12:45 on Dauntless Parkway and Dutch Broadway. The football game is Elmont versus Manhasset at 2 p.m. The Fall Blood Drive will be held on Tuesday, September 26th at Elmont Memorial High School from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Middle School Meet the Teacher is going to be September 28th, 6 p.m. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ramos and Ms. Capers. Audience, are there any audience members who would like to speak on agenda items only?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Aubrey Phillips, Parkhurst Civic Association. And I just have an observation that I'd like to bring to the board, or maybe to those of us in the community. I am looking over the agenda for tonight, and I've noticed that under the report of the superintendent, it is fairly well enumerated, the items that are on the agenda for board approval. However, I don't see that kind of enumeration under the report of the attorney. And I'm wondering if there are any items tonight that would be on the attorney's report that would require board action.
Good evening, sir. Yes, the answer is yes, there are action items under the attorney's report tonight. They're not usually set forth in the board agenda that you receive ahead of time because many of those items are not decided to be on the agenda until the board has had a chance to discuss an executive session whether or not they're going to put it forth on the agenda.
Okay, so this happens at the very last minute so that the community... So basically, what I think I'm hearing is that the board may have or will have items on the agenda for board action as set forth by the attorney's report. Is that correct? Yes, I think you said yes. I don't want to repeat the
That is
question.
Correct. And just to clarify to use tonight as an example, part of what will be in the attorney's report is acceptance of the audit committee's recommendation. The audit committee just met today at 6:30 p.m., so that is not something that could have been put in the agenda ahead of time because that recommendation was not made until the audit committee met.
Understood. All right. So I just wanted to make a point of that because it seems as though that the attorney's report, and I've been looking at the attorney's report for quite some time now, at least as it's enumerated here on the agenda, and it seems like it's a black box. So I'm hoping that there is nothing there that the community will only be left in a reactive mode rather than a proactive mode when time comes for board action tonight or in the future, of course. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. My name is Claudine Hall, and I am the president of the Jamaica Square Civic Association. And I believe this is an agenda item. I asked at the last meeting that I could have a report in regards to the Floral Park Memorial High School. I attended the Floral Park Memorial High School board meeting, and the trustee that represents Floral Park informed me that she would be giving the report to Ms. Capers so that she can give the report this evening. I did hear a long, extensive report about my home school, Sewanaka, and I'd love to hear about the great things that's happening at Elmont. But as I've said in the past two meetings, a majority of my residents' children attend Floral Park Memorial High School. So I would like a report, please, from the Floral Park Memorial High School, because the trustee has agreed that she would give Ms. Capers the report so that she can give it this evening. Ms. Capers, the floor is yours.
Did they give you a report? I don't have a report for Floral Park.
And that would be because they did not give you one, or was that because you chose not to give one this evening?
I don't have a report for Floral Park, and I am not going to speak on what the Floral Park trustee did or didn't do. I don't think that's appropriate.
No worries. I'll call the school tomorrow and speak to the interim superintendent and find out why. Thank you for your cooperation and your support to the Elmont community.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
Ms. Capers and Mr. Raymill will give an update on the bond committee.
Hi again. So since our last board meeting, the committee, the bond committee application period has closed. I'm happy to report that we had five applicants, all of which have been accepted. We're not turning anyone away. Next steps for the bond committee is that we will be, Mr. Ramos and I, will be scheduling a meeting with them this month for introductions and giving our first update. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Capers. I will turn the meeting over to Ms. Gomez for her for the attorney's report. Oh, is there any correspondence, Ms. Delahanty?
Yes, we had a letter from Ms. Buchanan, the president of the Elmont Elementary Teachers Association, inquiring about the status of the superintendent search committee and where we are in the process. The board has a copy of the correspondence.
The Board of Education issued a request for proposal, RFP, to hire a superintendent search firm. Responses to the RFP are due on September 25th, 2023, We anticipate that the board will select and hire a superintendent search firm in October of 2023. The search firm will conduct the focus group meeting and receive input from employees, the community, and the board. After the process is completed, we believe that the board will appoint a new permanent superintendent in March or April of 2024. Okay. So I will turn the meeting over to Ms. Gomez for the attorney's report.
Thank you, Ms. Garlick, and good evening, everyone. The first two resolutions that I have this evening are with regard to the audit committee. As I mentioned, the audit committee met earlier this evening, and the reports were reviewed, and also the corrective action plans were reviewed. So at this time, I would ask the Board of Education whether or not they are willing to accept the recommendation of the audit committee regarding the acceptance of the internal audit report on student safety and student data reporting, the acceptance of the audit report on food service operations, the acceptance of the internal audit risk assessment update report, the acceptance of the approval of the corrective action plan on student safety and student data reporting, the approval of the action plan for food service operations, and the approval of the amended corrective action plan for STAC, STAC, and payroll processing. May I ask for a motion from the board at this time to accept those recommendations from the audit committee?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Jaime, second by Mr. Ramos. All in favor? 6 votes in favor, unanimous. Thank you. The second resolution is a request to the board to accept the recommendation of the audit committee to approve the selection of R.S. Abrams as internal auditor for fiscal year 2023 through 2024. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Jaime. Is there a second? Second by Dr. Cantara. All in favor? 6 in favor, unanimous. Thank you. The next resolution is as follows. Whereas to enhance the effectiveness of the district's organizational structure, the interim superintendent of schools has recommended to change the title of Director of Curriculum Technology to Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Technology. And whereas the incumbent director has completed his probationary period and earned tenure, and whereas the board has determined that it is in the district's best interest to approve and implement the interim superintendent's recommendation, now therefore be it resolved that the title of Director of Curriculum Technology is hereby changed to Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Technology, and be it further resolved that the change in title will not affect the tenure area or tenure status of the incumbent director. Be it further resolved that the salary for the incumbent director, now Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Technology, will be $200,000 retroactive to July 1st, 2023. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Jaime. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Early Davis. All in favor? I see that the community is ready to celebrate, but we do need a vote by the board in order to confirm that. We have a first. We have a second. All in favor? I see 4 in favor. Do we
abstain?
Okay. 1 abstention. Do we have?
Abstention.
Okay. 4 in favor, 2 abstentions. The motion carries. Thank you. The next resolution is with regard to the following positions. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby the board hereby approves a 3% increase for the following positions: purchasing agent, secretary to attorney, teacher substitute service, deputy treasurer, teacher substitute service, personnel office manager, senior accounts clerk, senior typist clerk, personnel, senior account clerk workers' comp, account clerk 12-month benefits, and residency. Be it further resolved that these increases will be effective retroactive to July 1, 2023. I would like to withdraw the residency reference that I made just now. So we will vote on the positions that I've mentioned with the exclusion of the last category of the residency position. Is there a motion?
Move.
Is there a question, Mr. Hyman? Yes. We are, but that is going to be in a separate resolution. That's the stipends, not a percentage. Yes. Okay. Moved by Mr. Jaime. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Garlick. All in favor? 5 in favor. Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. Separate resolution. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a stipend of $5,000 for the residency position. No, this is for the 19A. I see this says Fernando. Okay. I'm going to have to go back and do that separately. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a stipend of $5,000 for ...12-month bus driver 19A examiner. Correct? Is there a motion?
Move.
Moved by Mr. Jaime. Moved by Mr. Jaime, second by Mr. Ramos. All in favor? 6 in favor, unanimous. Thank you. Separate motion. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a 3% increase for the residency position. Be it further resolved that this increase will be effective retroactive to July 1, 2023. And the residency position is the one occupied by Mr. Fernando D. Bartolo.
Residency.
These are stipends, not salaries.
Stipends.
Or are they salaries?
The stipend.
I did not hear stipends either. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a 3% stipend for the residency position by Mr. Fernando DiPartolo. Do I have a motion for that 3% stipend? Moved by Mr. Jaime. Second by Mr. Ramos. All in favor?
All those in favor?
I see 5 in favor. Is that correct?
You seconded it.
You can second and abstain. Are we comfortable with that motion?
Yes.
How many do we have in favor?
1, 2, 3.
I see 4 in favor.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any abstentions?
Yes.
Ms. Capers?
I already raised a yes.
Oh, you're a yes. So 5 in favor, 1 abstention.
3%, right? You got it right?
3% stipend.
Is it because of payroll? Is it a 3% stipend or is it 3% increase in the existing stipend?
Correct.
Yes.
Of the existing the
ladder, right?
Stipend.
Just for clarity.
It's the existing stipend.
Yep.
That's not what you said.
I know, that's why.
That's not what.
Okay, so.
I'm abstaining from the vote until it's corrected. Put me down and abstain.
So I would ask the district clerk just to amend that last resolution and add the word existing in front of the word stipend.
No, what has to happen is we have to motion to accept the amendment.
Right, so I'm asking for an amendment.
You can't make that motion. The president has, or the attorney has to make the motion to amend the existing motion on the floor.
Ms. Garlick.
Ms. Delahanty.
Mike.
Ms. Delahanty, could you make a motion? Could you make a motion to I would like to make a motion to amend it to say the existing
stipend.
Mr. President.
We have a motion to amend it to be an existing, a 3% increase to the existing stipend. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Move.
Okay.
Second.
Great. Based on that amendment, can we please have a vote on the amended resolution?
Okay. Now you need to state the amended resolution, the amended motion, as it currently reads now that we've amended it.
The amended resolution is, be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a 3% increase to the existing stipend of the residency employee, Mr. Fernando D. Bartolo, and be it further resolved that this increase will be effective retroactive to July 1, 2023. We had a motion and a second for that amended resolution, and now we have the final vote. All in favor? 6 in favor, unanimous. Thank you. Be it resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board hereby approves a 3% increase in the salaries and hourly rates for non-union employees in the following positions: district clerk, school lunch manager, bus dispatcher, assistant bus dispatcher, security supervisor, security guards, security aides, teacher aide, part-time substitutes hired after 7/1/2006, cleaner part-time substitute, typist clerk part-time substitutes hired after 7/1/2006, and labelers. Be it further resolved that these increases will be effective retroactive to July 1st, 2023. Is there a motion? Moved by Ms. Early Davis. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Capers. All in favor? 6 in favor, unanimous. The motion is approved. Thank you. Ms. Garlick, that concludes the attorney's report. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you. There was one more item. All right, so next meeting.
Sorry.
No problem.
Okay. I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Harper for his superintendent's report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I live in a community not far from here, on the South Shore of Long Island. And I've attended, many, many, many board meetings in my community. And I was trying to recollect, and I talked to my wife about it. I have never, ever, ever, I'm not going to name the community where I live. I don't want you to storm my house. But I would have never, ever, ever seen this many people at a board meeting. You should all come to the area where I live. All. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing interest in our children's education. I want to thank all the parents who are here. Parents, just raise your hand so I can just... All the parents who are here. If you're a parent, anyway, thank you. We survived 93 degree weather. It was the buildings were hot. They were, but I want to commend two different groups. But first, I want to say to the parents, thank you for keeping the kids focused. Thank you for taking care of them at home, keeping them cool when you had them during the day. Really appreciate it because it extended into the classroom. I'd also like to just thank all of the teachers. See them standing around the red shirts. Stand up, please. Hear me out. Just stand up. Please. Thank you. I know the conditions were not the best. You did a great job in trying to help our kids and keeping them cool. And our building administrators, building principals, you did an outstanding job. They developed cooling centers. We made sure there was water. We made sure there was ice. We did the best we could. They did the best they could to take care of our children. So I applaud all of our building administrators. Thank you. I seek a motion to approve professional appointments, changes in status, and resignations that are noted on pages 1 through 13.
May I have a motion to approve professional personnel items on pages 1 to 13? Move Dr. Quintero. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Seek a motion to approve civil service leaves of absence, appointments, and changes in status as noted on pages 14 through 21.
May I have a motion to approve the civil service personnel items on pages 1 to 21, on 14 to 21.
Move
Mr. Jaime.
Second.
Second, Dr. Quintero.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Seek a motion to receive three items on page 22. Item 1, Committee on Special Education. Item 2, Committee on Preschool Special Education. Item 3, Section 504 Committee.
May I have a motion to receive the Committee on Special Education Committee on Preschool Special Education Section 504 Committee recommendation on page 22?
Move.
Mr. Hunt, second. Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Seek a motion to approve item numbers 4 through 10 as noted on page 23 and 24.
May I have a motion to approve other items for the book?
4 through 8.
May I have a motion to approve items 4 through 8?
Move,
Mr. Jaime. Second. Do I have a second? Ms. Capers?
Yeah, second.
You wrote it down?
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Seek a motion to approve. Item 9 on page 24 is a voting delegate for NISBA.
May I have a motion to approve Mr. Jaime as the NYSSBA voting delegate on item 9 on page 24? Moved by Ms. Early Davis. May I have a second by Dr. Quintero? Any discussion? All in favor?
I'm abstaining.
I have 4 in favor. Motion approved.
Item 10 is the BOCES resolution. Board action?
May I have a motion to cast a vote for one of the three candidates for a two-year term on the Board of Directors of NYSSBA as stated on page 10, as stated in item 10 on page 24.
I
nominate Ms. Shamise Desir from the Uniondale School District.
Second.
Are there any other nominations?
No.
We have a first and second for Ms. Shamise Desir. Are there any other nominations before nominations are closed? No other nominations. And at this time, Ms. Garlick will take a vote for the candidate Shamise Desir.
May I have a vote from the board? All those in favor? It's unanimous.
Page 25 is noted for the minutes. Seek a motion to approve the scheduled disbursements and warrants as noted on page 26.
Items 1 and 2 on page 25 is also noted for the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the schedule of disbursement and warrants on page 26? Ms. Capers.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hyman. Any discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. Motion approved.
Seek a motion to approve the treasurer's report as noted on motion to receive the treasurer's report as noted on page 27.
May I have a motion to receive the treasury report on page 22nd?
Move.
Second.
Dr. Quintero. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Page 28 and 29 are noted for the minutes. Page 28, the items, A through I. Page 29 has the vandalism tallies for July 2023.
Items A through I on page 28 are noted for the minutes. Items A, the vandalism tally for July on page 29 are noted for the minutes.
That's the end of your report?
That concludes my report, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Committee's report and items. Does anyone have any committee reports or informational items? Does anyone have any old business? Does anyone have any new business? Does anyone have any legislative items? Does anyone have any items for future consideration? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak?
Hello. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to take a moment to extend our heartfelt appreciation to the dedicated members of the Board of Education Trustees and organizing and hosting this meeting. Thank you. Now I would like to address Vice President Capers. I'm not trying to single you out. It's a good thing. I read an article about you on the Long Island Herald that you want to, quote, focus on rebuilding partnership and relationship with the community, and that on the community, and bring changes to the board through transparency. So your words resonate with me, and it gives me hope that you will support us in the topic that we want to discuss. I stand before you as a dedicated parent representing a substantial group of parents collectively who have come here together in regards to the incorporation of gender ideology within our educational curriculum. The most recent New York State education recommended guidelines for pushing gender ideology into schools are alarming. In most cases, you need parents' consent, whether it be for a field trip or sex education. But the New York State guidelines, they state that they recommend school staff to arguably lie and hide from the parents if their children are suffering from gender dysphoria. An example was given in the state guidelines that goes as follows. A student with the legal name Kevin comes out as a transgender girl and asks teachers to call her Kimmy and use she, her pronouns. She is not out to her parents and requests that teachers and administration continue to use her legal name with her parents for the time being. The teachers call her Kimmy and uses she, her pronouns at school. When calling home for any reason, teachers use the name Kevin and he, him pronouns. Kimmy writes KD on her paper to avoid her parents seeing her affirmed name. These are the guidelines, and there are many similar guidelines to it. Some that encourage not to use pronouns at all, to have expressions such as in math or in English, where they have a problem teaching to little younger children in elementary where they should be non-binary. To not call them boy or girl, instead to call them scholars. This is very disturbing to us, especially because gender dysphoria, it is a medical issue that needs to be handled by not by school staff, but by professionals. It should be handled by doctors and parents working together. Parents across the country are upset. There was an incident not too long back in Long Island, in Port Jefferson, where an elementary teacher pressured a 9-year-old student to become trans. She started calling the little girl Leo and started using he, she pronouns. The child became so pressured and upset, she became suicidal. This is how the parents found out, because they saw drawings of suicidal images this child was drawing. And now the parents are suing the school. We are greatly concerned. And I do not know just how much exposure our children are having in school based on this gender ideology curriculum. We do not think it is something that should be incorporated into everything, and certainly not in elementary schools for little children. I was at the Elmont Union Library, and in the children's section, I found several transgender books, LGBTQ books, one whose title is Tell Me About Sex Grandma. And it depicts a child, perhaps 5 or 6, talking to grandma about these things. And I'm very sorry you have your child here with you. Okay. Yes, yes. Most of the parents here do. The big turn up that you have seen is because of these parents who completely disagree with this. This is not okay. We are not okay with this. Another book that I have seen is called It Is So Amazing, and in it depicts different positions of sex acts, and these are in the children's section of the library. A 5-year-old can pick it up. A 4-year-old can pick it up. There are images of all of these things in it. It is disturbing to us. We want schools to focus on academics. We have fallen behind, especially after COVID. Our stats are low. The U.S. ranked in the PSI chart at number 22, while China ranked 1, U.K. ranked 12. We have a lot to teach our children. We have a lot of progress ahead. We don't want to distract them with a politicized agenda that it shouldn't be in our curriculums.
Good evening. Is it on? Can you fix mine too, please? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Good
Good evening. I'm Claudine Hall, president of the Jamaica Square Civic Association once again. This evening I would like to, I was going to send a card, but I felt that it would sound better from my heart. So I'm not going to read anything. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel from my heart. I want to first start, I'm not going to cry. Mr. Rosen's not here. I'm going to first start with Mr. Harper, the head. Mr. Harper, in August, we had the most amazing backpack giveaway that I have ever witnessed in my entire years as a civic president. We started this 3 years ago in the heart of the pandemic because at my church, as you know, we have a food pantry on the first and third Saturdays of each month. And I spoke with my board and I said, look at the line here for food. If the parents cannot afford food to put on their tables, how in the world are they going to be able to buy backpacks and school supplies for their children? So we voted and we stated that we were going to have a backpack giveaway every year since then. And this year, I chose not to ask any politicians for any donations. I reached out to you, Mr. Harper, and I asked you if you would be so kind as to inform the parents of the Elmont Union Free School District of the backpack giveaway that we would be having. And Mr. Harper, you did exactly what Mr. Harper is known to do. You went above and beyond your call of duty. You not only sent out flyers to all of our children that went to summer enrichment, but you put out a calling post on the Monday, the Friday, and the Saturday of the backpack giveaway. And to you, I say thank you. But it doesn't stop with you, Mr. Harper, because like I said, you're the head. And as my old pastor used to say, you cannot lead from behind. So that brings my attention to the building principals who stepped up. Every last one of you. Yes. My principal, Ms. Walfall, who I'm so jealous, was touring the motherland from all the way in Africa, was sending out posts and calling posts to all the students at Clary H. Carlson. Every building principal, I owe you everything that I have because it was you who got the information out. Fernando Di Bartolo, I thank you because you called me to make sure it was okay to put my phone number out. And I told you absolutely. Miss Buchanan, I believe she is the president of the PTA. Her and her son were there giving out backpacks. We had retired Miss Amy Buchanan out there giving out backpacks. But then I have a special brother by the name of William Mingo Jr. who came out to Elmont, Hendrickson Avenue Park, rolled up his sleeves and said, Miss Hall, what can I do? And he would not stop asking me, Miss Hall, what can I do? So to Mr. Mingo, I thank you so much for being a true brother, a true friend. And I thank the Elmont Union Free School District, Miss Early Davis, who dropped off backpacks on my doorstep to help donate to the children of the Elmont Union Free School District. I am forever grateful to the community that raised me, to the school district that educated me, and to all of my friends and colleagues in the Elmont community. I thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. And I believe that 504 children, and we did run out, were blessed by the Jamaica Square Improvement League Civic Association because of the hard work and dedication that all of you did. I thank you so very much. Have a good night.
Hi, good evening. My name is Monique Cardial. I am the president of the Dutch Broadway PTA. I'm here to speak on an issue regarding transportation. And the transportation policy is eligibility is 2500A. And what the ask is that the board amend the policy and at first, you know, review it to take into consideration that the needs of the community have changed. There are many families who have been left out of busing options because there hasn't been a review of this policy, I believe, since 2015. And there has been a change, to my understanding, in the director or head of transportation. And now that we have a change in superintendent, the ways in which we handle requests be made for transportation or exceptions made to the transportation policy is unacceptable. There doesn't seem to be a policy that takes into consideration the various needs on an individualized basis of certain families. And the policy is black and white, and it doesn't allow, from my understanding and review, discretion for the superintendent or the director of transportation. And that is a failure on the part of the board, and it's an oversight, but it really has left many families and children stranded with no way to get to school or home. I have some families here. I don't know if they want to speak. I didn't hear in the agenda because I was in the hallway whether the facilities portion and the transportation portion of the agenda was covered. Was that report covered first? No, it wasn't. Okay, was it left out for a particular reason or there was nothing to address?
There was nothing to address. We didn't review this.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said there was, we didn't review this policy.
No, I mean, on your agenda, I think there, Section D calls for discussion of facilities and transportation. I didn't hear that discussed, but again, I was in the hallway, so I don't know if it was or whether there was an update.
Section D, buildings, transportation.
It was just for the...
There was no report.
There was no report.
There was no report.
There was no report. Okay. So the ask here, and we are, the Dutch Broadway PTA is working with the inter-school PTA, so we can address the concerns across the elementary schools and those families. And at the next meeting, we should have a petition for you if it is not sufficient for me to bring this concern to you to address and amend the policy. So you will have parents here at the next meeting if you'd like to hear their testimony in addition to a petition. I do have a parent here who was directly affected. We have this community, the demographics have changed. So we have a community where I once came here 30-something years ago, I had a stay-at-home mom. So, and many of the families, that was the case. So there was one parent home or the neighbor could bring your child to school. That is no longer the case for our children and for our parents. We have a lot of public servants. We have a lot of healthcare workers where they're working 12-hour shifts. So this is very difficult, and I really urge that you look into the eligibility requirements and at least take into consideration that the superintendent and the director of transportation have discretion in granting exceptions to families on a case-by-case basis if, with a broad stroke, you cannot allow transportation for all students. I don't know what the budget is. That is something that I don't know if you have a budget in front of you that you can provide and that allocates or lets the community know what we are allocating to busing, but that would also be very helpful. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Nikisha Duplan. My name is Nikisha Duplan, an Elmont resident, and this is my husband, Lil Duplan. In August, we didn't receive a bus pass for my girls going in fourth and sixth grade. I called the office, and I was told because they live less than a mile from the school and they're in fourth and sixth grade, they're no longer eligible for the bus. I was astonished by this because my niece, who recently graduated from sixth grade, was receiving bus services until she graduated. So they told me I could write a letter to Mr. Harper making this request, which I did. And here goes. Good morning, Mr. Harper. My name is Nikisha Duplan, resident of Elmont and second vice president of Dutch Broadway Elementary School. My family and I live at XXX. My daughters were not given a bus pass, and I was informed that they aged out and live less than a mile from the school. While these are facts, there's a safety concern on our behalf. My girls are tiny little humans, innocent and naive. I cannot foresee them walking home. Compounded with the busy Dutch Broadway streets and innumerable fatalities that occur, and I've also been getting ongoing letters about strangers approaching kids. My husband and I are healthcare workers who do 9-to-5, while their grandfather is able to take them off the bus. Due to his limitation and ambulation efforts, he's not able to walk to pick them up. Please, I ask for your consideration in allowing the girls to have the bus passes. And I left my contact where he could contact me. Mr. Harper responded, unfortunately, those are the regulations. I wish I could be of more help. Perhaps you could use your PTA contacts to help you find someone who can take your children to school. Sorry. And I responded, unfortunately, other parents have aired their concern and gotten bus passes. I have no PTA contacts. I'm a parent like everyone else, aiming to do something for the school and the community. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So my name is Mr. Duplan. I am the husband of my wife, obviously. Yes, it was. I'm glad I was able to break the tension a bit. Although this is a very particular, it's an individualized concern, but it also reflects on the community. I've lived in Elmont for quite a good amount of years now, and then I have been first witness of fatalities that have occurred on Dutch Broadway, right across the street from the school. And then it was very concerning from my end when my wife told me, upon contact with Mr. Harper, and Mr. Harper said he was not aware of those fatalities that happened on Elmont Road and Dutch Broadway.
Excuse me, he had to research. He researched it, and when I came to get a pass, that's when he told me he investigated and he found out about those fatalities.
So that was this is a concern, because if you are going to represent us, at least some due diligence needs to happen. So all the street markings that happened on Dutch Broadway and Elmont Road, they were not done in vain. It was done in an effort to curb traffic on Dutch Broadway, which is a main artery linking Franklin Square, Elmont to Queens. So in the morning, in the evening hours, it's a busy road. So to say to me that you were not aware of these fatalities, we have young kids that have been plowed by high-speed vehicles on Dutch Broadway. And these kids, we can't bring them back. The least you could do for us is, like, if we try to make a case for you, it's not that we feel entitled, but we try to basically be good citizens and then approach you from a human being perspective. That's the least you could do for us, is just basically grant us this pass. And then the bus passes right in front of our house. They take the neighbor's kids, but mine's are left alone.
He was in fourth grade also.
Good evening, board members. Good evening, Mr. Harper. It's nice to see you back.
I remember you.
I remember you too.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, we go long back.
Yes.
And I just want to let the community know, Mr. Harper was the first one that when I initiated the Eid holiday, and he kind of like got it approved. So that needs a clap for Mr. Harper. Good evening, board faculties, teachers. Myself is a teacher, so I know what it is to be out here tonight. So thank you, Dr. Gracia. So nice to see you back again, my children's teacher. And now he has been in a good position, right? Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being here. I would just want to continue what my sister Aisha, had brought it up about the LGBT thing. And we are here very concerned about it. As a parent, I just want to know, can we have the access to the curriculum that is being rolled out, any new curriculum, textbook, any books that has been introduced in the school? Do we have the access to take a look at it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We do.
And we'll talk. Let's set up a meeting.
Sure.
I see the gentleman, the tall gentleman. I remember him. Remember we met in the office back there? Yeah. Great.
Yes.
Absolutely. Man.
Yes.
Yeah,
and just to continue that, one more question, and thank you, Mr. Harper, for making it more comfortable for us here now, mm-hmm. is that we also want to know that if the students want to have a religious exempt from not attending certain, you know, educational, you know, any sort of like, you know, topics, which I am hesitant even to say, and I just wonder how this is being rolled out in the curriculum now, that do we have an opt-out option from that?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Harper. And that goes a big one. Thank you. Good night.
Good evening, members of the board, community, administrators, and teachers. My name is Tricia Wong, and I live on Parkway Drive. I am a parent of a high school senior, and I am also an educator in another school district. I just want to, it would behoove me tonight if I didn't comment in regards to the concern about the gender curriculum. I think every educator in this room can attest that we as educators try to teach the whole child, the entire child. We strive for inclusivity, and when I understand some of the parents' concerns, however, I can assure you that as an educator, we are here for every single children, regardless of their race, gender. We are here for children. So to say that certain things should not, we should be excluding students, I assure you that is not our goal as educators. We are not trying to indoctrinate, but we have to be inclusive of all children, regardless of their race, their gender, or any type, any ethnicity at all. So we do have to be inclusive. I just wanted to say that as a parent and as an educator.
Good evening. How are you? Thank you, more board members, for this meeting tonight.
Could you state your name?
Yes, my name is Sheriar Ali. I'm a resident of Elmont. I grew up in Elmont. I went to Colbert Avenue Elementary School, Sewanika High School, and now I'm raising two young boys here in the Elmont School District. So I just want to pick up on that point that the woman just made earlier. I completely agree with her that we do need to be inclusive as a community, but that should apply to all communities in terms of fairness. Now, why is it that a student who wants to practice their faith in school, that's criticized and that's not allowed, but other materials such as gender ideology and LGBTQ material is allowed? How is that being inclusive and accepting of all students? So I'm here today as a voice for a mother who's too scared to speak. She had a child, and I reached out to one of the board members about this. She had a child at Corbett Avenue Elementary School who practiced the Muslim faith. He wanted to pray, and he was criticized, and he was told that under her watch, he was not allowed to pray in that school or anywhere near that school. So coming back to inclusiveness, how are you going to stand up here and say that we're all about inclusivity when we're not allowed to practice our religion in school? Just how religion is not allowed to be a part of the school curriculum, this other material should also not be allowed to be part of the school curriculum. So I really hope that at the next school board meeting, we'll be here again. There will be more of us from the Elmont community. We're all parents. We're not just some random people who showed up from different neighborhoods or had nothing better to do tonight. We all left our kids at home, our families at home, and we're here because we care and it affects us. So we're all about inclusivity. We're all about respecting everybody. Doesn't matter what your race is, what your religion is. But there's certain things that are not allowed in schools, and we shouldn't pick and choose what is allowed or what is not allowed. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to add to Brother Ali that, like he has said.
Would you state your name?
Yes, my name is Aisha Akhtar. I just want to add to it that, as he has said, and to the prior complaint, that the school is for all children. School most certainly is for all children, but not selected political ideology. We don't want politicized ideologies being taught to our children, those that sexualize children or confuse them at a young age. That is all we're asking for. We care for the children. We are the parents. We speak on behalf of our children. And that is what we're saying, that absolutely we have to think of the children, all of them, every single one of them. If there is any kind of gender dysphoria, that is between the parents and the medical staff. The school staff are not medically, they are not medically trained to handle these kind of situations, as they should not. We do not want these kind of politicized ideologies, again, in schools where children are either confused or sexualized or both. It does not belong in school. Thank you.
Hello, good evening. My name is Adriana Jackson. I am a parent. I want to apologize to having my daughter, but my in-home babysitter, that's my son, that's 17 years old, he have a game tonight, so I didn't make the game, I make his, so I have to bring the little one. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Did you do a homework?
Oh, of course, it's done, yes.
Then
that's what
okay.
Moms do, right? Okay, so I have a question. Gigi, sit down. Thank you. Okay. First, I remember a couple of meetings ago that was asking if it was possible to this meeting be live streamed, because as you can see, this room is not big enough for everybody to be here. And if people continue to come, that can be a problem in the long run. So I don't see how the board came up with a solution of that, if it was a yes or no. Because I missed last meeting, but there was any answer for that? If it's possible, because we bring that up to the high school and they get right into it, and now we do have an online meeting that the community can actually see everything that's going on from home, because, you know, many people work and they don't have the ability to be here. Is that possible? Is something that you guys can look into it? I'm just bringing up again, because this is not the first or the second time this is bringing up, because you guys are talking about money, talk about the tax money that we pay. We all pay as community, so we all should be part of to know what is done with the money. Is that possible?
Okay. What you're asking, and I may be a little confused, what you're asking is for a bigger venue?
No. I'm just asking if they...
Oh, okay.
We can be live streaming or at least recorded so people can see later on. We bring the same question to the high school and they act on right away. So I wonder if the elementary school is possible to do, because I do have one kid in each level. I have an elementary school, as you can see, and I also have a high school. So it would be important if that's possible to look at it.
I would like to say... forgive me for not mentioning that highlight on the high school part. And I will bring it up to the rest of the board, me and Tiffany, as far as how much it costs, which it wasn't much, and to explore it. You know, it's definitely possible.
Okay, that would be great. So we appreciate that.
With the board's permission, of course.
Of course, but yes. That would be wonderful. Cool. Thank you. I have another question. I believe that the last vote for the budget, or the year before, was put something in the elementary school about the approving air conditioning for the school. And I can see we just have a heat wave and everybody was being cooked in the school, the staff, the teachers, the students. So there was a big heat wave. And the way that the climate is changing, I don't think it's going to be any better going forward. So I just wonder what was the status on the air conditioning on the elementary school. I don't know if that was approved for the budget or not a couple budgets ago. Or what is going on that respect?
It's
It's a part of the bond project. The bond project that we have for our school district.
Okay, so there's something that is in motion?
Yes, it is.
And there is a time frame? There is a date?
We don't have a date. Ms. Capers is working on that bond project.
There were RFPs put out for the work, and HVAC was part of the work, and there was an RFP put out for that for contractors.
So they are working on it.
Working
on getting a contractor to do that work.
Okay.
The RFP was put out for that.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you. Then the other request that I have, because I know during COVID, there was an option of kids studying from home. So I was just wondering if it was possible in case, you know, now that we have the heat wave and everybody's been cooking school, maybe there is an option that instead bring the kids to school, the staff to school, we could switch, okay, this week because we have a heat wave or we have a snowstorm. So instead cancel the school, actually remotely allow the kids study from home, do their homework from home or have a class from home. Because if we did during COVID, we could also do during heat wave at least until the air conditioning is implemented, because I think that's not going to be something that's going to work right away. It's just a suggestion. See if that is something that could possibly be implemented. Because, you know, we all want the kids having this certain amount of days. We don't want that to be extended or be exhausted doing because they have to make up for the days that they could not make it because there's no storm. Because, you know, the weather is just getting crazier and crazier, and we don't know what to expect. So it's going to be good to have something like that in place that we could just switch, and that would be comfortable for the teachers, for the staff, that they could start being in the hot building. They could be, I'm sorry, they could be at home. So it's just a suggestion. Okay. The other thing I want to bring up, I was researching in the website, and I noticed that the Dutch Broadway School, the website is not up to date. So I don't know who is responsible for that and who I should talk about. Okay, so looks like the school website is not being up to date.
I'll look at it. I take it back. I'll look at it this evening as soon as I get home.
Okay, so that would be good. Because my daughter was actually in Gotham last year, and this year she went to Dutch Brothers. So I was trying to get some information, and I went to the website and I see, 21, 22, so we are 23, 24. So it's been, looks like it's been a while since it was updated. So the last thing I want to bring up, I noticed that the school has uniform. It's not mandatory. I love uniform, and I'm really glad that we have the option. But I noticed also, bring my daughter to school, that some kids, even in elementary school, they are dressing not appropriate. So some kids has, you know, very short skirts and things like that. And that was just bringing up to the high school dress code and dress things that, you know, parents should be aware. And I wonder who is, you know, looking after those kids that is not really doing the right thing and how they are dressed in the elementary level.
I'm asking you, you mean the parents are sending their kids?
Yes,
dressed
inappropriately? Yes, yes.
And you're asking who would monitor that, or who would
in the school?
Building principals, teachers?
Okay,
so if someone was really inappropriate, dressed inappropriately, they'd make a contact with the parent and discuss it. But, you know, you use discretion, but little children, I agree, you have to be careful with what they wear.
Okay, so we should bring up to the principal? Because now nobody's allowed to get into the buildings unless you have an appointment. So my kid has been to Dutch Broadway for a long time, it's just all new to me.
Call the building principal, absolutely, ma'am.
Okay, call the building, talk to the principal.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Have
a good night.
Thank you.
Hi, Lynette Battle, Elmont resident. I want to address this to you, Madam President. I've been watching the dynamics since July, and I'm watching body language, and I'm watching the dynamics of the board. And I want to say this to you, and I hope that you hear me.
I have no hair on my tongue, so from the lung to the tongue. Why would you allow Mr. Jaime to answer any questions for you? You are the president. He could advise you, but he should not answer for you, nor grab the mic and overspeak you. If you have any questions, I would think that you would speak to your vice president, who's also been on the board for quite some time, for some answers. But I wanted to bring a group of young ladies in here to see leadership at its best. I'm not feeling comfortable right now because this is patriarchy taking over. And as a feminist, I'm not comfortable with this. And I just want you to know that I'm watching. And if I'm watching, others are watching as well. And I want you to be empowered, but work with your leadership as well. And you have good, solid partners who are knowledgeable. And I just want to bring that up to you and take it for what it's worth.
Thank you.
I just found it disrespectful that he answered for you, and that's problematic to me.
I just want to say thank you for your opinion, but other members of the board have spoken also.
Okay. Fair enough. In regards to live streaming, like Adriana said, on the high school level, they solved the problem. And we spoke to the IT tech, and he said he reached out to the person on his equivalent on the elementary board and shared with him how he got it done and the pricing for it. So he is aware, and it can be done. So I hope that you, Mr. Harper, reach out to your individual and let him know that you know that the person from the high school level at Sewanaka reached out to him and shared the information. So it can be done, because I'm really quite tired of using up my phone life to stream on Elmont Mom Squad. It can be done. And we've been talking about it for over a year. Come on. We are a very smart community. You have smart individuals in the room. This is low-hanging fruit. Matter of fact, we have a parent, Stephen Azor, who has a technology company who can live stream it himself. So you have the resources available to you. Now, Mr. Harper, I'm on to you. I love you, but we need to have a conversation. It's not hard to tell that the Elmont Union Free School District has a staffing crisis. We are losing talented individuals in large numbers. Over the summer, we lost a talented individual. I'm not going to name her. But she left because she didn't feel valued nor respected. She didn't feel supported by her leadership, and she had to endure every ism that could be thrown at her. And what's crazy, it happened under your watch, Mr. Rosner's watch, and then you just got back, and she left. She was a class act, and she never said a word. And she was my childhood friend, and she never said anything to me. But how I heard about it is the people who talked badly about her. They called her a black bee. Yes. And some of them are in the room right now. They said they wouldn't take any orders from her. And like I said, they're in this room right now. And she took her talent someplace where she would be respected. But she's not the only one. How are we going to rectify the problem of losing talented individuals, especially the ones of color and the ones you have diversity and you have great talent. You have great talent and you've chosen these individuals. You brought them here, but it's hard to keep them. So how are you going to address that and turn the tides? And that's my question to you.
Go over the question part again, because there was a long
I'm long-winded. Take it and live with it. I'm okay with that. But I'm saying that you're losing talented individuals.
The district is losing talented.
The district is talented, losing talented individuals, especially when representation matters. How are you going to deal with the diversity issue and bringing in talented individuals and keeping them?
Well, I would say this, and there are people who are by the microphone who heard me say this many times before. My philosophy on education is finding the best teachers. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they do. I want the best. Now, do we go out and recruit at multicultural recruiting events? Of course. We went to the city. We go to the Bronx. We go to BOCES 2 times a year looking for talented individuals. Not looking for talented individuals who are that color or this color or that color. We're looking for talented, passionate individuals who love children. And that's what we do every day. Of course, we lost a person. We did. But we move on. We have talented people who move up, and we continue to move forward. But I will look into that, and I hear what you're saying. Thank you.
How do you... The fact that there's an atmosphere where they don't, where some of your staff don't feel like they have to listen to someone. How do you deal with that?
I'm not privy to that information.
Okay.
I don't have it. I don't know who you're talking about. It's a personnel issue. If you'd like to maybe talk or set up an appointment, I'd be more than happy to free up my schedule when you're available.
I can definitely do that.
Please. Thank you. I love those earrings. Are those folding chairs?
Yes.
I put my glasses on. I couldn't.
Aubrey Phillips again, an Elmont resident. And I want to be sure that we are opening this microphone to people who live in Elmont or who live within the Elmont Union Free School District, because this is where the bills get paid. So the microphone is for Elmont residents. At the beginning of the meeting, I questioned sort of what I call the black box of the report of the attorney. And I was given a quite reasonable explanation as to why there is nothing enumerated under that. And the response was that the items came to the board late. Just a few minutes ago, there was the meeting, etc. I stood here, and there were numerous personnel items as part of the attorney's report. And I am just wondering if, in fact, all of those personnel items that were voted on by the board were also part of a last-minute discussion. Madam President.
We do discuss in executive session what the attorney puts out. Yes.
No, I'm well aware of that, but my question isn't that at all. My question
is your question?
Was there prior knowledge by the board prior to the distribution of the agenda with regard to the personnel items?
Yes.
And the superintendent's report lists personnel items. We're not asking who. The community is asking what. I want to be very careful about that, because I understand that you can't say who. But if we're going to have sort of a 15-minute debate about promotions and salary increases, etc., which seem to me to be items that are personnel items and items that spend taxpayer dollars, that the minimum that we can expect, since transparency is something that this board suffers, or the lack thereof is something this board suffers from, I'm hoping that going forward that there are no black boxes on this report. If you knew ahead of time that there were going to be personnel items the minimum that could have been done so that someone who had to speak on agenda items only could have at least come to this microphone and have some indication that there would be discussion of promotions, for instance. I'm not asking you to tell me who. I'm asking you to tell us what you were doing. So I just want to make note of that, that the community, at least the community that I speak for, is concerned that these items should be enumerated ahead of time. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Harper. I think we go back a long way. We go back to something at 2 o'clock one morning, me calling you at your house. And so when you ask parents to raise their hands and to thank them for supporting the students in the schools and whatnot, I stood here and I'm like, wait a minute. They are non-parent taxpayers in this community, all of whom come together to support children in this district, I being one of them. And I have to say, I felt slighted that only parents were singled out for accolade and for their support of children.
But you're a parent, aren't you?
Not of children in the district.
Oh.
Yes. That's very good. I trained you well. Hyper-technical for me. Now, a resident stood up and asked for a report from the high school for students at Floral Park High School. And so I'd like to ask a couple of questions, maybe. Does anyone, any of my high school board members, do you know how many students from the Elmont Union Free School District attend Floral Park High School?
Good evening, Mr. Phillips. When the request was originally made at the July meeting, we did ask Mr. Harper to gather that data for us, and we found a significantly low amount of students from our six buildings go to Floral Park Memorial. And I even asked Mr. Harper, and he shared it. I asked for the data after the resident made the request, but the data just wasn't shared with me. It was shared with the entire board. We also found over a trend of 3 years, that number was decreasing every year. And that was one of the reasons why we didn't discuss it. It was a decrease over 3 years, but we did do the diligence of collecting that data and sharing it with the board.
So I'd like to get to that answer a little more specifically, and I will go this way. How many students are presently enrolled in the Elmont Union Free School District?
About 3,400.
3,400? And in the Sewanika Central High School District?
I'm not on that board.
Understood. I think it's safe to say it's about it's just over 8,000 or 6,000 students probably. And are we talking about 15% of the student body at Floral Park from Elmont?
It was less than 20.
Less than 20%?
Jamaica Square does
no, less than 20 students.
Less than 20 students.
Yes.
So there are less than 20 students at Floral Park, and we have a very crowded room.
I don't think that's accurate.
All right, I just want to get that dealt with.
And again, that number is steadily decreasing.
Understood. I'm just trying to see if we can get some efficiency somewhere at these meetings. Lastly, this is regarding the dress code issue. What recourse is available to school administrators for students who break the dress code rules?
Now, normally, and I asked one of the building principals to jump in here, but normally if a student is dressed inappropriately, and one of the major things that I always look at when I go into a classroom is the child's socks. It's a telling tale. When you look at their socks, you'll see whether in October, November, December, January, you'll see kids with no socks or with those little tiny socks.
So you may have a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old who has no socks on. That's a major issue, and that's one of the issues that we address. But if there's a child who's dressed inappropriately, the building principal will call the parent, bring the parent in, and discuss it.
Okay, so that is a conversation between parent and...
Yes.
Okay. I think you get to my point. I think, you know, the parents may be a little more responsible for this than
no, but that's it's very important that we take a look at the children's wardrobes. It's important.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right, so that I think that sums up what at least the Parker Civic Association is concerned about. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Umu Cham, and then I'm a... Okay. Hello, my name is Umu Cham, and then I live in Elman School District. And I'm talking about the bus transportation. I think one of your staff, I believe the person is present here. I'm glad the person can, you know, hear me, what I'm saying. And my daughter was in a bus for last year, for the whole year. And then that was my first year to apply the bus transportation. And I did not know that every year you should apply on April 1st. So, and then I missed the deadline. And I went to the office, and they told me that to reapply, and then they're going to discuss on the board, and then to see that if they can take her again for like a late application. I said, okay, no problem. I did the letter, I gave it to them. I went back on, they told me to come to late, July or August. I came to July, I spoke to them, they said that no, they didn't have a meeting yet. And then I went back again, August, crying. I went twice, beginning of August, crying and tell them that, you know, what's going on. They told me, no, you have to wait end of August. And then I wait for end of August. I went back again to ask them. And then my thing is that, yes, I applied late because that was my, you know, because I didn't know. If I knew, I would apply on time, you know. So for me is that it will be good if, like, they can send the letter home to remind the parent, to let the parent know. Like how they do, like if the child physical is due, you will receive the letter home, your child physical is about to do, and then you go and you renew the physical. But I think all of that tax we pay here in Elmont, and then they cannot even send a letter to remind us to say that the application, you know, you have to apply for your child because your child already in the bus, was already in the bus. I'm thinking that it would be nice if they can send a reminder to us to say that when, you know, is about to do, you have to renew for your child bus transportation. It will be nice. It's, for me, it's so simple because they do that. Even in school, you forgot to sign the trip form, they remind you. You understand? The teachers remind you. Why the people in the office for bus transportation cannot send you a simple letter to remind you to renew your bus transportation? If you guys can take that consideration, it will be so nice. Please.
I thank you for your comment, but a letter is sent out every year, man. Every year.
I did not receive the letter.
I didn't, you didn't receive it. I'm just telling you. A letter is sent out. I'll check your name and make sure you're on the list. A letter is sent every year.
Okay.
Every year.
Thank you.
Good evening, Debbie Cannon, President of the Elmont Elementary Teachers Association. Mr. Harper, I would like to thank you for your kind words regarding the opening of school. The weather conditions definitely show the resiliency of every single person that was in that building. I'm very encouraged to hear that the board is going to be interviewing 5 applicants for the construction with the bond. My original question entailed the timeline. You're going to be working on that. But one thing, as someone who, a lot of us in this room, we're in the trenches, even on a day like last week was news breaking. This week was a regular day, and the classrooms are still very, very warm because the heat does not leave the buildings. So I would just come to ask you that when you do speak to the contractors, if expediting the HVAC is something that they could put. I know when you're interviewing people, that might be something that one company may be able to avail themselves better than another, because we do everything in Elmont to give the students and the staff all the tools that they need to be successful. And one tool that's absolutely critical is a safe physical environment. And the classrooms are too hot, and it's for, in some cases, you could almost say that people that and the kids, you don't feel safe because you feel like you're getting sick. So if that's something that we can do, look to prioritize that. I know that will go a long, long way, not only to make people feel healthy, but also to have successful days as we start the fall, and it's starting to get warmer earlier and earlier in the spring. So I thank you for your consideration of that point. Good night.
Hi, good evening, board member, president. My name is Shamsur Rahman. I'm a former trustee for South Floor Park, fireman, and the volunteer fireman and the trust, the EMT. And I answered the call on 9/11. We from our firehouse to the Belmont racetrack to Shea Stadium to Manhattan, transport the patient that day. So I just want to continue with everybody, like Sister Asha Ali said it. That's a big concern, not only for Muslim. It's a big concern for most of the people, because I live in a village, South Floor Park, and I do speak to the parents and everybody concerned about this gender issue. I mean, we have a limit for everything. Like, you know, you cannot drive on a certain age. You cannot drink on a certain age. Or you cannot smoke on a certain age. But what is this, like, you know, in an elementary school, we can impose on our kids? We should have a right. How should we raise our kid? These are not the state kids. These are our kids. And we should have a right. How should we raise our kid? And at least parents should have a concern. Like, they should have a concern, like, what are they teaching in the school? At least they, you know, because someday kids think, oh, I'm a lion. And he wear the lion head and come to the school. So call me lion. Would you call him lion? Other kids come as a goat, or some kid as a giraffe, whatever they think. Sometimes they do play that. And would you allow in a school? Would you? Or like, who make that criteria that the 3 years old or 4 years old can make a decision what they want to be at this age? Like, is there any research work done before we're putting in that? Or is any stats, like, you know, what's the child's mind can think, right or wrong, what they want to be? Like, you know, yes, they have a feeling sad, they go suicidal, there's a different phases. Even the adult goes through the different phases, but they are adult. They have a right. The court give them a right. But before 17, they're minor. I work in a hospital. Before 17, we cannot touch, you know, without the consent of the parents. Until they're adult, like, how should we treat them? What should be done? And how can we posing in the school without... So, do you have any research work done? And, you know, if you have it, please bring it to show us, like, what the basis to bring this transgender is proving. It's like, what data, what things, studies was done to bring it at this age, and they can make the right decision. Thank you.
We're going to...
I'm sorry, it's Aubrey Phillips again. Nemesis, I guess.
Mr. Phillips, you
I understand, but someone else was allowed to speak twice, so I just have one thing to state. You really want to hear this?
This is his third time.
During this discussion, you can turn that down, I have a loud voice. During the discussion, I wanted to just point out that I did miss a point, and that was that I have tremendous respect for the teachers of the Elmont Union Free School District and the Sewanika Central High School District. And during some of this discussion on the curriculum, I think Mr. Harper noted, it's okay, you don't know. Yeah, Mr. Harper noted that on the curriculum, there are a number of places where parents are allowed to opt out of certain courses or certain types of teachings. And I'm wondering if the notion of opting out renders moot the conversation about curricula, because if you can opt out, I guess you can opt out. The last part of what I'd like to say is that the Elmont Public Library has books of all sorts, and I certainly am one of those Elmont residents who want not fewer books, but more books in the Elmont Public Library of all sorts. And just like in the curriculum, in the use of the curriculum, that you can, parents can opt out, I would like to be able to go into the library and not pick up the book that I don't want to read. Thank you very much for the extra time.
Thank you. May I make...
No, let's go.
We're going to make them...
We're good.
I want to make a move. May we have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Move, Mr. Jaime. Second, Ms. Early Davis. All those
meeting.
In favor?
Next meeting.
Our next regular meeting will be held on Tuesday, October 10th, 2023 at 8 p.m. at Gotham Avenue School. Thank you.